So here we go. Chaudhry decided that he would televise his competition, his matches. And I'm saying his matches, not that he was going to be fighting every other week and he would televise those. No, again, we're talking about Pan-Asian martial arts competition that he would televise. It would be a mixed martial arts tournament, meaning that fighters could use any form of martial arts. So a person expert in Muay Thai could go into the ring against someone who has a black belt in karate. Thanks to Chaudhry's days on Wall Street, he had the contacts that he needed to raise the required funds. And at the same time, his martial arts background meant that the various sports governing bodies were confident enough in him that they were willing to come on board. Poaching sports broadcast talent from around the world, his business was launched in 2011. One championship. It became an immediate success. And now their fights are broadcast on Fox Sports Asia. There are 10 different weight classes for men and one for women. I don't know the reasoning behind that, why there's only one weight class for women, but the events are held in China, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Taiwan, and Thailand. While ONE Championship has not released its financial details, Chaudhry says that it's on track to achieve a market value of $1 billion in the near future, thanks to broadcast revenues and ticket sales. Now, in my mind, that's not bad. I don't know just how close near future is, but he's saying they're on track to achieve a market value of $1 billion in the near future. And remember, the company only started in 2011. So 5 years later, they're on track to reach $1 billion in the near future, whenever the near future is. Although ONE Championship is currently a lot smaller than its U.S. mixed martial arts rival Ultimate Fighting Championship, also known as UFC, which was recently sold for $4 billion, some commentators say that ONE Championship actually has bigger growth potential because of its dominance of the Asian marketplace and the region's vast population. ONE Championship is holding 15 events across East Asia this year. And speaking of vast populations, the Asian marketplace, think about how popular martial arts have been in Asia for decades and decades and decades. And think about the huge population in Asia of people, interested viewers, ready to watch martial arts competition on TV on a regular basis. Right now, whereas the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, is holding one fighting event across East Asia this year, ONE Championship is holding 15. I tell you what, I am amazed by and impressed by Chaudhry Sityartung, having experienced wealth, not his own, but his father's, and then to have lost that. Rather than allow himself to become depressed, he just became more determined, moved his mother into his dorm room with him, took out loans so that he could continue and complete his master's degree and get that MBA. After having determined that he was going to pull his family out of poverty, and he did what he said he would do, having determined that he would become a millionaire, he did it. How many of you have made a commitment to yourselves that you're going to bring your family out of poverty and do it ethically? Notice that now. He ran legitimate businesses in order to do what he said he would do. And I know that that is something that a lot of people do too. They have their minds made up that when they are going to come into their wealth, their fortune, they're going to help family as well. And so a lot of people will build homes for mother and father, and they'll do things to help their siblings, and all that's good. But it's also good to know that there are so many people who don't decide that they've got to become wealthy in order to help family. I realize that's part of the equation too, that there are people who will make some money and they'll send some back home even though they're not making enough to be wealthy. I applaud both those who do obtain wealth and help out family and others, those who don't obtain wealth and yet help out family and others. All right, let's go to the lady I was telling you about now of this trio as we are looking into business matters and becoming inspired. Another person who knew what it was to be living okay and lose so much that she became destitute and then later became a multi-millionaire. Danielle Hinkle. She decided she had to flee Algeria because she felt that her children were no longer safe there. Islamists were starting to attack girls in the street, so she had to think about her daughters. So what did she do? She moved to Canada. That was back in 1990, and Algeria was about to descend into more than a decade of civil war between a secular government and various Islamist groups. Danielle was born in Morocco, and she was 34 at the time that she moved, and she and her Algerian husband really had lived a comfortable life with their four children. She worked as a political and economic advisor for the U.S. consulate in the coastal city of Oran, while he was an engineer. But they gave up everything almost overnight when things started really getting bad in Algeria and they sought asylum in Canada. They arrived penniless in the city of Montreal in the middle of a bitterly cold Canadian winter with a snowstorm in full swing. Now, you know, that took some courage. I mean, that really took courage to have left everything behind. Because remember, although they were living well while they were in Algeria, they were penniless when they arrived in Canada. So they did not take any of their wealth, whatever level of wealth it was, with them when they moved. When they sought asylum, they moved under distress. Not to say that everyone who moves under distress leaves behind everything, including all of their wealth, but that's definitely what this family did. Before moving, the Immigration Department of Canada had told them that her husband and her, both of them, would easily find work. But that is not the way it turned out. While her husband, Ahmad, could not secure any work in his field, Danielle spent 7 years scraping a living, earning 75% less than she had earned in Algeria. She did everything from working as a secretary to selling lunch boxes to trying her hand with an estate agent's firm. Selling lunch boxes. How do you suppose she felt during that time? You think it was all just sheer determination and she was going to be all right? Let's check it out when I come back.